Thank you, Standard. Praise God for His amazing grace. Let's stand together. Let's just sing this together. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Jesus Christ is the fountain of life. Come, thou fount of
every blessing to my heart.
Of life today. You are the living water. You are the bread of life. You are the door. And I thank you that when a man or a woman comes to you thirsty and drinks of your water, Lord Jesus, they never thirst again. Thank you, Lord, for that everlasting water, for that everlasting bread. We praise you today, O God. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Thank you for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have stamped eternity on our hearts. And we bless you today. Remind us as we go throughout today, Lord. Remind us of eternity. Remind us of your glory, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to bless this body of believers today in the name of Jesus. My heart wells up in thanksgiving to God when I think of you. You all are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And some of you are really going deeper and deeper into personal worship, and I bless that this morning. That's very exciting to me. There's stirrings in our hearts for greater community in this faith family, and I bless those stirrings. Some of you are being incredibly intentional about deep connections these days. And that excites my heart. And I know that there will be more joy, even more joy in this house. There will be. There will be resurrection power bursting forth, even in the midst of warfare. Together we will stand on the rock. Together we are going to carry those that are bound and wounded to Jesus Christ. Some of you will construct the beds. Some of you will lift up the four corners of the beds and take your friends to the rooftop. Some of you will tear back the roof tiles and you will drop your friends right down in front of Jesus Christ. We all have our part to do. Different parts. But we have the same faith in the same Master. Together we are going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So thank you this morning for your lives and how you inspire me to get closer to Jesus Christ. There's room at the feet of Jesus for us all. It's beautiful. I want to go into the book of Colossians here again today. We've been kind of working through it here in the last little over a year now. An overview of the book of Colossians. Paul spends a lot of time in explaining the person and the work of Christ. All things were created by Him and for Him. By Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, all things are sustained. He is the head of the body. All of who God is dwells inside of Jesus. He reconciled all things to Himself through His blood. We are complete in Him. We are crucified, buried, and risen with Him. He has forgiven our trespasses. He nailed the documents that condemned us to His cross. Paul says, set your love on eternal things. Because you are dead, your life is hid inside Christ. Put to death your members of unrighteousness. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. I want to read just a few verses out of Colossians 3 and then we'll move on down through. But just listen to these words. Colossians 3 verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Christ Jesus in us. Resurrection power inside. So we hear this term sometimes. Someone is so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. That phrase passes through my mind sometimes, and sometimes I wonder of how much earthly good I am. But no, the life inside must and will come out. Our lives are proof of transformation this morning. You cannot separate your Christian life from your everyday life. Authentic Christianity will be like Jesus Christ on Wednesday as it is on Sunday morning. Authentic Christianity is not only about my relationship with Jesus Christ, but it is very much about our relationships with people. With normal people, sin-scarred people, unloving people, frustrating people, loving people. That's really what it's all about. I want to read the next verses to you here. Paul goes on to say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with all your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward for the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Lord Jesus, give us the grace this morning to look at our relationships here on earth. It's always exciting, Lord, to talk about our relationship with You. But Lord, we know that Your life is to flow out from us to those around us, to those we touch, day in and day out. Speak to our hearts here today. I pray in Jesus' name. These real life verses. Wives, submit to your own husbands. I was thinking about this word submission. To submit means, it could mean a number of things, but one of the things submission means is to actually exalt another. To submit means to exalt another. True submission is really exalting another. It is not about being a doormat. It is about active exaltation. To honor, to respect, to prefer, as it is fit in the Lord. You know, a jigsaw puzzle has only one way that it can be joined together in order for a perfect, beautiful picture. And God also created an order, just one way, for things to fit together, for the picture to have incredible beauty and harmony. Exaltation. Husbands, love your wives. To love is to bless. To love is to care. To love is to offer security. To love is to give your energy, your time, your heart, your very life to your wife and for your wife. Paul says, love your wife without bitterness towards her. Think about it, husbands, without bitterness, without those secret annoyances, without those underlining frustrations. A truly loved wife is a released wife. Released from expectations to perform. Released to know, without a doubt, that she is everything to him. A loved wife is a released wife. Children, Paul says here, obey your parents in all things, big things and small things, even in the things that have no visible consequence attached to them. Obey even when no one sees, because there is one who sees, children. Think about it. There is one who sees. And that one who sees is ready to pronounce a blessing over your life. I hope, children, that you receive a blessing when you obey your parents. Hopefully your parents give you a blessing. But the ultimate blessing is from the Lord. Something actually stirs within the heart of Almighty God when He observes children obeying their parents. Something stirs within Him. It stirs in there. It says here that He is well pleased, or very pleased. In fact, God is so pleased that He can't contain it. When He sees children obeying their parents, there's something so stirs in the heart of God. He is so well pleased that the blessings spill out over your life, guaranteed. He can't hold them back. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Do not frustrate them with an inconsistent life. Do not confuse them with an inconsistent life. It may discourage them. Fathers, don't you dare squash your children's hearts, your children's dreams, your children's inspirations. Instead, direct your children's hearts. Direct their dreams. Direct their inspirations. Discouragement comes to the heart of a child when everything is no. Don't do it. No, we don't like that. Discouragement comes to the heart of the child when everything is yes. Sure, go ahead. Do it. Yes, everything is yes. Discouragement comes in both ways. But when the hearts of the dads are turned towards the hearts of the children, then you have what Jesus talked about in Mark chapter 9, and we won't go to that now, we'll go to it a little later. When he took the child in his arms and he said, if you receive this child in my name, you receive me. You receive me. Fathers, dads, you are a shepherd of souls. You are a shepherd of souls. Servants, obey your masters in all things. Or maybe in today's language we could put in there employees and obey your employers in all things. Paul is getting right down to the nitty-gritty of life here. Not just in the things that make sense to you. Not just because he might give you a raise or a promotion. Employees, those of you that are employees here today, are you pay raise driven? Are you promotion driven? No, I believe it's a heart of God for us to carry the desires and vision of our employers because we fear God. Paul said with singleness of heart. What does a single heart look like in an employee-employer relationship? You can think about that, but I'll just say this. A single-hearted employee, it's all about my employer and ultimately God's name. And then in the beginning of chapter 4, the masters or the employers. Employers today, those of you that are employers, remember, you also have a master. You also have a master who is in heaven. Treat your servants, your employees, justly and without respect of persons. As we look over what Paul has said here in all these different relationships, this is God's Word. It is very beautiful. The picture is very beautiful. Wouldn't you want to live right here? I don't know what all for reality shows flashed through your mind as we went down over this these different things. Hopefully some of the pictures that came to your mind of your real life experiences look very much like what Paul laid out here. But I'm sure also there's some pictures flashing through our minds this morning of some things that don't look quite like what Paul laid out here. They don't look as beautiful. If we are honest with ourselves, what do our relationships look like? Husbands, wives, children, fathers, employees, employers. And so the first question that we often ask in a deficient relationship is, how do I get from this point to this right here? And there's many, many books that have been written. How to love our wives. How to respect our husbands. How to be a good employer. How to be an incredible employee. How to be a good dad. So many books that are written on the how. And very good books. Very good books that can be very encouraging. This morning, I just want to ask one question. And that is, why? If my relationships don't look like these relationships, why? How did it get to this? No, why? Why? Why do I struggle to exalt my husband? Why don't I love my wife? Why is it so hard for me to give in and obey my parents? Why do I get under my children's skin? Why do they seem so distant from me? Why do I struggle connecting with my children? Why do I feel like that my employer doesn't really care and he's a jerk? Why do I feel like my employees are spoiled brats? Why do they frustrate me? The question this morning I want to lift up is why? In Exodus chapter 20, God gave a list of 10 commandments to Moses, and we know them probably by heart. Honoring thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness, and on it goes. But I want to focus in this morning for just a few moments on commandment number 10. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's things, your neighbor's animals, his maidservants, his men servants. Don't covet that which is your neighbor's. To covet means to strongly desire, lust after, to stretch after, grasping for. The common denominator of covetousness is me. Thou shalt not covet. And you know, in Luke chapter 18, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus took him to the commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. Don't commit adultery in the list of commandments. And the young man said, "I've done all those things. I lived those things. I'm above board." But then Jesus nailed commandment number 10. He said, "Go sell what you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me." That young man went away. And he said within himself, I imagine he said within himself, "I want my money. I want my stuff. I want my ease. I want my social status. In fact, I want more than what I already have." Earlier here in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Put to death your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry." Covetousness, which is idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is simply when someone else or something else occupies the throne other than Jesus Christ. That's idolatry. So this morning we can claim what we want, folks. You can make all kinds of spiritual statements and declarations. You can know the Word of God from front to back. But let's get this straight. If you or I have an issue living out what Paul described here in Colossians chapter 3 in our relationships, there is someone on our throne other than Jesus Christ. Let's get it clear. There is someone on your throne other than Jesus Christ. Why is there struggles in relationships? Why are there struggles in relationships? Because there are thrones that are not occupied with the Son of God. That's why. We are grasping for something other than Jesus Christ Himself. We are clinging to an agenda outside of Jesus Christ. That grasping for more. I want, I need, I expect, I wish, I covet. I want to just read a real short story to you. The story is told of a priest who served a small parish in an obscure countryside. He loved his people and they loved him. And he was doing God's work quite effectively. So effectively, in fact, that two demons were assigned by Satan to pester him and somehow derail his ministry. They tried every method in their bag of tricks, but to no avail. The placid priest seemed beyond their reach. Finally, they called for a conference with the devil himself. "We've tried everything," the demons explained, listing their efforts. Satan listened and then offered this advice. "It's quite easy," he said. "Bring him the news that his brother has been made bishop." The demons looked at one another. It sounded too simple. They had expected something more diabolical, but it was worth a try. Nothing else had worked. Several weeks later, they returned gleefully. The old priest hadn't taken the happy news of his brother's promotion well at all. The man's former joy had been turned to moping. His encouraging words had been replaced with grumbling and gloom. In a short time, the man's vibrant ministry had been destroyed by the green worm of envy and the black cloud of disappointment. This morning, I invite you to take a journey up into your throne room, up into the throne room of your heart, and let's just observe who is sitting on that throne. By whom is it occupied? When we repent of our idolatry, brothers and sisters, it looks a little bit like Jesus marching into the temple, picking up the whips. When we repent of our idolatry, we do what Jesus did there in Mark 11. We pick up the whips and we clean out our temple. We dispose of the thieves, the grabbers, the graspers, the I-wanters are surrendered there. Clean out the desire for personal gain. Clean out the desire for popularity, for self-exaltation. Clean out the expectations we think that we deserve from our partners, our spouses, our bosses. Clean out the need for our children to make us look good. Clean out the drive for me to have to get ahead financially. Clean out the grasping for spiritual and social status. Surrender the need for recognition. Surrender the results of ministry. Clean out the rebellion. Clean out the wicked and the unclean spirits. Clean it out. Drive it out. Overturn the tables. And release the controls. And walk down off the throne. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be president once again. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord. Lord of your throne. Lord of your life. The me agenda is out of the way. My grasping and my clawing exchanged for clinging to the ankles of Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you a story out of Mark chapter 9. Jesus' disciples had encountered a deaf and dumb spirit that they could not cast out. And they had asked Jesus privately, why was it that he couldn't cast them out? And Jesus said that this kind doesn't come forth but by prayer and fasting. And so, Jesus and his disciples continued on into Capernaum. And when they came to Capernaum and they came into the house, Jesus asked, what was it that you disputed among yourselves along the way? But the disciples held their peace because they had been disputing about who should be the greatest. Jesus sat down and he called all 12 unto him and he said, "He that is first, he that desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a child into the midst, and he brought the child and held the child in his arms. And he said, "If any man receive this child or such children in my name, he receives me. And if he receives me, he receives not me, but him that sent me." And then John answered and said unto Jesus, "We saw someone who was casting out demons in your name, but he didn't follow after us. So we told him to stop it because he didn't follow us." Jesus said, "Don't forbid him, for there is not a man which shall do a miracle in my name and soon afterwards speak evil of me. He that is not against us is on our part. Whoever shall give you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Whoever offends one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck and he be cast into the sea." Paul says, whatever you do, folks, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Wives, submit to and honor your husbands in Jesus' name. Husbands, love and care for your wives in Jesus' name. Children, walk in obedience in Jesus' name. Fathers, receive your children in Jesus' name. Servants, obey your masters in Jesus' name. Masters, take care of your servants in Jesus' name. Give a cup of water. Give a listening ear. Give an encouraging word. Carry the wounded. Cast out the demons. Speak life to dry hearts. Not in your name or for your name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads. Close your eyes if you can here for a moment. Observe the throne room of your heart. Is there any business that needs done there? You know, Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sins. But He is not only Savior, He came to be Lord. He is Lord. Will you agree with Him on that? If there's difficult situations in any of your relationships, in any of our relationships today, go and observe the throne of your heart. Who is it that reigns there? Holy Spirit, would you just search our hearts? Talk to us this morning. We want to see Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that come, let us serve. ask you, Lord, to open up the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Some of us husbands are struggling to know how to love our wives. We're struggling to love them, Lord, as Jesus Christ loved the church. There are wives here that are struggling to exalt their husbands, to prefer them and honor them. There are children here, Lord, some of whom are struggling to surrender to their parents. There are fathers here, oh God, that are discouraging their children, provoking them. There's some of us fathers, oh Lord, who are leading inconsistent lives. There's some of us employees here, Father, who have a hard time exalting our employer and blessing them. And there's some employees here, oh God, that probably are having a difficult time honoring and taking care of their employees, even as family. Lord, I don't know what all the situations are here. Oh God, you know our hearts. And I ask you, Lord, to administer healing to these areas, Lord. And would you give us the gift of repentance, oh Lord, as we evacuate the thrones of our hearts and those that where there's something else on the throne other than Jesus Christ, oh Lord, would you give us the grace, Lord, and the audacity, Lord, to evacuate those thrones, to repent of our sins, oh Lord, and make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. Lord and Savior, would you help us, oh Father, to be able to release our grasping fingers, Lord, and let you take over the controls of our lives, oh God. Some of us are grasping for more. We don't always know what that more is, but it's something, Lord, that we think is going to make us feel better, look better, do better. Oh God, have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, oh God, for grasping for something other than Jesus Christ Himself. This I pray and I ask you, Father, to do your work here, Lord. I thank you that you're stirring deep things in our hearts this morning and in these days, oh God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in this place. Continue, O Lord, to draw us together as a body for your sake, Lord, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There is a place of quiet rest
near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us to wait before you, near to the heart of God.
Praise the Lord for His word to us. God is loving us. He is showing us Jesus. And He's showing us ourselves. And He's drawing us and wooing us to that place near to His heart, where it is safe to just surrender it all to Jesus. It can be painful to really face up to who I am and be open and honest and confess. But oh, the blessing. You see, God gives grace to the humble. God brings healing. God brings forgiveness when we confess and repent. Oh, God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Tim, for preaching the word today. I receive it. I want the Lord to be Lord of all. Amen, standard. All for Jesus. Yes. Maybe someone has a testimony to share this morning. Something that God would have you declare publicly. Here. Just raise your hand. Ushers can get a microphone to you. If there's someone, you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you. Let's obey the Lord. Quench not the Spirit. Amen. Is there anyone? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Rest, there's security. Yes. Amen.
Well, I'm just remembering that about a year ago I was spared in an accident. And I thank God I'm alive, and I just want to proclaim that He has a reason for me being here. I just want to thank Him and praise Him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, the same microphone, another sister.
I just want to praise God this morning. He's so good, and He's been speaking to me about fear in my life. And last Sunday, I just went to the throne, and I took the verse there where it says, perfect love casts out fear, and I just dissected that whole verse. And God really met with me, and I just praised Him. His love does cast out fear, no matter what it is. And I can say that it was broken.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you. A hand on the men's side up front here. Have a microphone.
I've been reading in Joshua lately, and the picture of crossing the Jordan and going into the Canaan land and fighting. You know, somebody mentioned there's rest in Canaan land. Then I was like, well, they fought first. But I had to realize that as long as I was looking back to Egypt and wanting the things of Egypt, I couldn't enter the Canaan land. But by the grace of God, I'm in Canaan land fighting to clear the strongholds and to enter into the rest that God wants us to experience. And thank God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, right here, same microphone. Brother Ron.
Yes, thank you for the message, Tim. It really spoke to me, especially in one of those areas where, in my life, where I am still on the throne and I see it clearly. In my relationship with my wife, I get impatient with her sometimes. I'm not as patient as I should be, and it's because, I guess, of the selfishness, because I'm on the throne in that area of my life, and I need the Lord to help me to get off of that and really put her first and put her needs first in my life. So thank you for that.
Amen, Brother Ron. The Lord shall deliver you and heal you in that area. when we confess our sins. I just want to give testimony that God is graciously restoring my heart. And I just praise Him. He's healing my backsliding. And I'm still confessing, Lord, heal my backsliding. And He's answering that prayer. So I just encourage you here today, if you need healing, you need deliverance, it comes through humility and confession and being honest. An honest and a good heart, that's all God's looking for, an honest heart. As long as I deny, you know, and I can keep fighting and keep struggling, you know, keep trying to hold on to that throne. But when we surrender, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hand right over here. Yes, go ahead.
God showed me an area this morning that I am on the throne of my life. But, Brother Aaron, I wanted to say thank you for reminding us that it is safe to surrender to God. I needed that word.
Amen. Praise God. Hand over here on the brother's sign.
Thank you, Tim, for the message. You know, if we are here today and God is sitting on that throne, how do we keep God to continue to sit on that throne? How fast will we trade God for something in this world? Yeah, I just often think... I really like your testimony, Standard. I just often think that song we sing, I Surrender All, do we even know what that means? How many of us are actually surrendering all to Jesus? And I've been reading the same book as Standard did, and, you know, it just, these great heroes of faith, these great men of faith, what did they give up? When they died, what were they known for? Were they known to have this huge business and tons of money? And, yeah, I just feel like this message really spoke to me. I just feel like God spoke to me a lot, and Jesus is the most important thing in the world, and everything else will burn. Do we treat it? Do we see that? If He truly is the most important thing in the world, and everything will burn, are we living our life with that perspective every single day? And that's a challenge for me as well. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. God is so good.
God is so good.
Do I really believe that? He's good to me. Oh, I can see He's good to my brother or my sister, but is He good to me? Yes, God is so good to me. You who are struggling accepting that God is good. Oh, I just want to encourage you today. God is good. There is no unrighteousness in Him. God is good.